Welcome to a Bible talk from Lower Mountains Anglican Church.
Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In his great mercy, he has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, and into an inheritance that can never perish, spoil, or fade. This inheritance is kept in heaven for you, who through faith are shielded by God's power until the coming of the salvation that is ready to be revealed in the last time. In all this, you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while you may have had to suffer grief in all kinds of trials. These have come so that the proven genuineness of your faith, of greater worth than gold, which perishes even though refined by fire, may result in praise, glory, and honour when Jesus Christ is revealed. Though you have not seen him, you love him. And even though you do not see him now, you believe in him and are filled with an inexpressible and glorious joy. For you are receiving the end result of your faith, the salvation of your souls. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks, Trevor. Hello, everyone. My name is Ken Noakes. Welcome along to church. It's great to be able to spend time in God's word together. Well, sometimes we do have a tendency to make small things much bigger issues than they should be. And he's not here to defend himself. There are so many times when we latch on to something, a comment, an opinion, a tweet, and it seems to get so much airplay. Sometimes it is really quite a small matter and it gets blown totally out of context, out of proportion. We are very good at making molehills into mountains. Time will tell if our toilet paper rush is validated or simply a sales bonanza for the makers of toilet tissue. But I can tell you, if I was an executive at Kleenex, I'd be very, very happy at the moment. We can make small things into big issues. Yet conversely, there are also times when something that is actually a very big matter gets minimized and often ignored. One such topic is the resurrection of Jesus. Given that there is not a very long list of people who have been confirmed dead, who have then been brought back to life, you would think that the resurrection of Jesus would be a fairly big matter, particularly since the promise of life after death is possible for anyone who believes in the resurrected Jesus. Christians want the world to know that the small matter of the resurrection is actually a very big matter. Well, welcome back to week 6 of Jesus Works. In this Bible Talk series, so far we've attempted to cover the basics of Christianity. The hope being that together we might be able to consider, the fundamentals that lie at the heart of what Christians believe. For the person who is happy to be called a Christian, if that's you, this series should have enabled or reminded you of the faith that you have been established in, and as such, encouraged and equipped you to speak about your hope. For the person who is willing to check out Christianity, perhaps you're not ready or comfortable yet to identify as a Christian, my prayer is that within this series so far, you will have been given much to consider so that you'll be able to make up your own decision, make up your own mind about the Christian faith. We have looked so far at the Bible, the person of Jesus, the problem of sin, the sacrifice on the cross, and at the resurrection back to life. If you're not with us last time, then we looked at the resurrection itself. I might encourage you to go back and watch or listen to that talk. You'll find it on YouTube at LMAP TV. Today, I want to focus on how the resurrection relates to life, as Steve has already highlighted for us. And I'm going to do that first by looking at what the resurrection achieves, and then second, suggesting what that could mean for each of us. I hope you're with me for the ride. The first thing that the resurrection achieves is that it shows humanity's enduring problem of death has a solution. The resurrection deals finally with the root disease which lies at the heart of death. That is our sin. For all of the wonderful and good things that our world offers, they all cease when we die. Now, without meaning to be melodramatic, all of our endeavors have an expiry date. At least we might be able to leave a legacy of some kind, our efforts, our energies in some way may show themselves after we have breathed our last. But by and large, all of our endeavors have an expiry date. And those life philosophies of which we live amongst in the world that we enjoy are, you could say, the air that we breathe, and they are shown to be limited when it comes to the end of our days. Let me give you three examples. Humanism. Humanism, which suggests that people contain the ultimate answer. That is shown to be wanting when we die. Individualism, which suggests that any one person can determine what is best. That is defeated when we die. You know, that really popular funeral song, "I Did It My Way," seems to be problematic. Materialism, which suggests that we can earn or own all that we need. That is exposed as a poor alternative, as any material success is left behind, given away, or thrown out. Yet in the resurrection, God points us to an enduring solution. Look with me at 1 Peter 1. It's what was read. Trevor read that for us. It'd be helpful to have that open, although I'm going to zip through a whole bunch of passages today. They'll come up on the screen as we go through. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 3. Praise be to God, the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In his great mercy, he has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, and into an inheritance that can never perish, spoil, or fade. This inheritance is kept in heaven for you. These verses speak of a new beginning, a new birth, one that happens after death, and it's made possible only through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. This hope is much more than a secular optimism. It's much more than just wishful thinking, because it has, well, it is a living hope based on something that achieves the very thing that it promises. It is based on a life after death. It strikes me that to say to a dying person that all will be good, that they will be up there in heaven, and to base that assumption solely on what the world promotes is a shallow offer. But to say to a dying person, it will be all good, heaven is waiting, and to base that upon the resurrection of a person who has already done what they are about to experience, death before life, then that has to be a much more comforting option. Yet there is more. This life after death includes an inheritance that cannot perish or spoil or fade. And when we think about inheritance, we often think about that in material terms. We inherit the car, the house,
the trust fund. But what is spoken about here is even better. It is a new body, a new life, a new birth. Now pause for a moment and think about how good it would be to have a body which can no longer perish. No matter what, it cannot be destroyed or damaged or hurt. Well, think about for a moment what it would be like to have a body that can no longer be spoilt. It can no longer be polluted or diseased, infected or weakened. Or pause for a moment and think about how good it would be to have a body which can no longer fade. It will not see decay or aging, no longer anymore sagging. The inheritance here involves the things that we really care about. Our lives, our souls. And this inheritance is kept in heaven for you. It is achieved for you because at one time Christ died for your sins, the righteous one, for the unrighteous, in order to bring us to God. He was put to death in the body in order to put to death the sins of our body. But he was made alive in the Spirit through the resurrection of the dead, so that you and I might live. I have a gift voucher here. It comes from Rebel, which is fitting, because as someone who prefers to do what I'd prefer to do and not what God wants me to do, then that's really just being a rebel. But a gift voucher nonetheless. Someone who loves me bought this voucher at their cost. And they gave it to me freely. I can now rock up to the store and redeem it, which means I don't have to pay. And then when I walk away, no one blinks an eye because they know that what I have taken, has been paid in full. Because Jesus loves us, he went to the cross at his cost to deal with my sin freely. Died so that I could be redeemed from sin, a price I couldn't pay, and rose to give me eternal life. The guilt and punishment that my sin deserves and that God demands, Jesus takes and pays for on the cross. So that when I come before God the Father, he doesn't blink an eye, and I know that is because the resurrection declares my sin paid in full. The resurrection finally deals with my sin. No longer am I seen to be a rebel. The second thing that the resurrection achieves is that it vindicates Christ's word. As we've moved through Mark's gospel over the last few weeks, we've saw Jesus declared to be the Son of God on numerous occasions. The author, in the very first verse of Mark's gospel, calls him the Son of God. The impure spirits repeatedly yell it out in chapters 1 and 3 and 5. The disciple Peter announces it in chapter 8, and the Roman centurion declares it at the foot of the cross. From the point where Jesus is arrested through his trial right onto the cross, Jesus is mocked as the King of the Jews. He was laughed at for promising salvation and yet not being able to save himself. At the cross, Jesus looks nothing like the Son of God or the king of the Jews. He looks like a defeated rebel. Yet with the resurrection, all those majestic claims come into their own, and we see him to indeed be the Son of God, the King of the world. Jesus is given the stamp of God's approval. It is the resurrection that declares Jesus to be that Son of God, to be his King. All that he had promised is validated. It is the resurrection that confirms Jesus as who he said he was. You remember, we've looked at a whole bunch of things that Jesus did during the times that he walked on this planet. He healed a crippled man in Mark chapter 2. Jesus said that he would forgive sins, and to show that he could forgive sins, he healed the man. The miracle shows that Jesus has authority to forgive. In John chapter 11, we meet Lazarus, who's been dead for 4 days, and Jesus comforts his sister Martha, declaring, "I am the resurrection and the life. No one who believes in me will live. The one who believes in me will live, even though they die. And whoever lives by believing in me will never die." He promised a comfort beyond the grave. And to show that he was who he said he was, Jesus then raised Lazarus from the dead. For us today, it is the resurrection that tells us that Jesus is the resurrection and the life, not just for Lazarus, but for all who believe. Only one who has conquered death and is in a position to grant life over death. The resurrection shows that what Jesus claimed of himself was true. The third thing the resurrection achieves is that it places Jesus in the judge's seat. Hebrews 9, verse 27 says that people are all destined to die once and after that face judgment. Now, we might not like the idea that someday someone will sit in judgment of us. Would it be more comforting to know that the one who will judge you is the one who has had authority over spirits, sin, sickness, nature, death, and people, and has used that authority for everyone else's benefit, and that it is that one who comes to judge? Would you be more comfortable to know that the one who comes to judge was the one who healed the sick, and fed the hungry, and defended the vulnerable, and raised the dead, and then willingly took the punishment for those he came to save? I would be comforted if I could choose who it was that would judge me. I would want to choose someone like Jesus. God has set a day when he will judge the world with justice by the one he has appointed. And he's given proof of who this is to everyone by raising him from the dead. The one God the Father chose to be our judge is the one who has his authority as king. And it's the resurrection that shows us it's his Son. You know, when I walk into that final courtroom, whatever that might look like, and I see the list of charges that are leveled against me, as minor, as major as those charges might be, my comfort will be knowing that Jesus is sitting right there in the judge's chair. It is he who will do what is right. What does the resurrection achieve? It deals finally with my sin. It vindicates Christ's word, and it declares Jesus judge. Now, how does the resurrection relate to life? Well, let me make a couple of quick comments. First, it helps me to know that God is more interested in grace than law. Let me see if I can explain what I mean. We live under the rule of law, primarily because we are fallen. That is the way that our world operates. We live under the rule of law. As a society, we need rules and regulations to help us live together, so that what is right is upheld, what is wrong is condemned. Now, God understands that of his people. That's why he first issued the Ten Commandments all the way back there, which in many ways our law system is all based upon anyway. And yet, most of the time, we hate the idea of law. We hate the idea that our freedoms will be restricted, that our actions would be held accountable, that someone else would tell me what I should or I shouldn't do. Would it not be better if we all lived by grace, where we were not regarded as fallen vessels, where everyone put the interests of the other before their own, that at all times that we gave the other person the benefit of the doubt? Sound idealistic? Yes. But not for God. What the resurrection shows is that God prefers to relate to me and you in grace, not by law. That despite any action on my part that breaks a law, that he would prefer to relate to me by grace. That instead of looking at me and seeing a sinner, that he would look at me and see someone he loves as much as he does his son. How good would it be that even when we each stuff up continually, that God willingly sees us not for our sin or for our mistakes or for our issues, but instead sees us as a son and a daughter? For it is in his great mercy that God has given us that new status, that new birth, and it is through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. How does the resurrection relate to life? Well, it shows me that grace is far better than law. Second, it helps me stand before the King. When we walk into that courtroom and we stand before Jesus, we will stand there either as his friend or as a stranger. He knows the charges against us. He's aware of the faults. He's died for those faults. So he's probably more aware of them than perhaps we even are. And when he listens to our defense, he's not listening for all of the reasons why we think we're good enough. He is simply listening for repentance and faith. The time has come, he has said. The kingdom of God is near. Repent and believe. He is simply listening for repentance and faith. Friends, I want to say, don't be a stranger to Jesus. Stand before him as his friend. And if you ask him to be in your life, he will gladly come. Next week, I want to show you what a Christian is, and I want to invite you to ask Jesus into your life. But as I showed you last week, that will involve praying a prayer, this one. Please don't feel that you have to wait until next week to pray a prayer like this. Because maybe you're ready right now to say, I want to be your friend. How does the resurrection relate to life? It shows me how to stand before the King. Finally, the resurrection helps me stand for the King. At this point, I want to offer a final word to the many here who I know are Christian, and particularly to the members of this church. We need to be people who take what some would regard as small or insignificant, and we need to make it very big. We need to be people who stand for the crucified yet risen King, so that others might know the salvation that he offers. And I have a suggestion for how we might be able to do that. Or in many cases, continue to do that. This Bible Talk series has been called Jesus Works. The hope is that you might be reminded again of the wonderful work that Jesus has done to save. Jesus Works is also the name of a short course about Jesus. From this point forward, it is this course that our church will be offering as our regular evangelistic course. My hope, now that you've heard the Bible Talks, and is that they're now available both in audio and video format so that you can go back and look at them, that you will be aware of how to talk about Jesus. And that you understand some of the value of what is covered in a course like this, because we've covered it in these talks. So when it comes to inviting family and friends and colleagues and guests and visitors, you know with some degree of confidence what will be covered and how beneficial that would be for them. Our whole church now is aware of what is in our core evangelism course. This course is very similar to explaining Christianity, but offers a little bit more flexibility. If done in a formal setting, it can be run over 4 to 8 weeks. If it's done in an informal setting, which we can't really do with explaining Christianity, it runs more like a conversation. You can have a conversation one-to-one, over coffee, at a cafe, in your home, wherever you feel most comfortable, wherever the person is you're talking to feels most comfortable. And our prayer is that Jesus Works, which is only a tool, will help prepare us to give an answer about the living hope that we have in Jesus. And as you leave the auditorium today, there's a free copy of this Jesus Works course booklet for you. The welcomers will give them out to everyone so that everyone in our church has got a copy. And you can take it home, read it. If it's way too small in the writing, that's okay. Just go online. There's a bigger version there for you. And there's no reason why you shouldn't be able to read it and use it to explain the gospel to a friend. Maybe just read it with them. And if you'd like further instruction on how to do that, then I'm very willing to run a 4 or 5 week training course on how to use this. Tell me your interest by writing it onto the little comment card or the welcome card on the slip of your handout, and I'll get in touch. Work out if we can get a group of us together, and I'll show you how to do it. It's not rocket science. So friends, there you go. How does the resurrection relate to my life? In fact, how does the gospel relate to my life? It shows me that grace is far better than law. It shows me how to stand before my King. And it shows me how to stand up for my King. And my prayer is that many will come to know how Jesus works. Let me pray. Lord and Father, in your great mercy, you have given new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of your Son Jesus from the dead. Help us to stand before your Son, your Judge, your King, in repentance and faith. And help us to stand up for your Son, our Lord and King, as his witness. In Jesus' name, amen.
You have been listening to a Bible talk from Lower Mountains Anglican Church. If you'd like to know more about Jesus, get further information, or download other resources, please visit our website at lmap.org.au.